The title for the message today is very simple. It's Strength and Courage. Strength and Courage. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for a beautiful day outside. And thank you, Lord, for a nice place we can come and meet. And Lord, I thank you for each person that's here. I know there are others that would like to be here and are not able. We pray for them. And Lord, for each one of us that is present, I pray that you would help us to be able to pay attention, to be alert, to be attentive, to focus our thoughts and our mind on the Word of God for the next few moments. And I pray, Lord, that we would take to heart the truth of your Word, we would apply it to our lives. And Lord, I pray that whatever decision we might need to make, that we would make it before we leave. And when we leave, I pray each one of us can say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would help me now, that you'd give me clarity of thought and speech, all the help that I need in my mind, in my mouth, my whole body, Lord, that I can stand and proclaim your word as I should. I ask for this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory and for his sake. Amen. In Joshua chapter 1, the mantle of leadership is passed by the Lord from Moses, the servant of the Lord, to Moses' minister, Joshua, the son of Nun. Joshua's faithfulness as a minister qualified him for and is rewarded with the privilege of leadership. That's an important point to remember, because it seems today that far too often people want to completely bypass being a minister and go straight to the top. They don't want to have to do any type of menial service or menial labor. They want to just bypass all of that and go straight to a position of leadership. But it is my opinion, and I believe it's a biblical opinion, that what qualifies a person for a position of leadership is faithfulness in the area of service. And I can tell you this without hesitation, that if you're not faithful as a servant, you are not worth having a position of leadership. If you won't be faithful as a servant, there is no way in the world you will be faithful with the responsibility of leadership. So what you find here is that Joshua's faithfulness as a minister qualified him and is rewarded with the privilege of leadership. Here the minister becomes the leader. Joshua is given the responsibility of stepping into Moses' shoes and leading the people of Israel into the land of promise. And if you look here at verses 2 through 9, verses we just read, you see that God gives instruction to his newly appointed leader. And three times, you see this if you pay close attention when you read the verses, three times in his instruction, the Lord tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. You see it in verse number 6. God says, be strong and of a good courage. You see it in verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. You see it again in verse number 9. Be strong and of a good courage. And then when you look down at the very last verse in this chapter, verse number 18, you see that Joshua is told by the people to be strong and courageous. That verse ends by recording where the people of Israel said to Joshua, only be strong and of a good courage. So four times Joshua is instructed, he is commanded to be strong and courageous. Three times by the Lord, one time by the people. And I believe this, or these two things here, are what all believers need to possess in their lives. I believe that all of us as saved people need to possess strength and courage. But please understand, I'm not talking here about physical strength. There's nothing wrong with being physically strong. I wish I was more physically strong than I am. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not the type of strength that God is talking about here. It's more of a spiritual strength. It's being strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It's a spiritual strength. It's a spiritual courage, a holy boldness, if you will, to stand and stand firmly for what is right. That is what we all need as God's people. We need strength and courage. And what I want to do here as kind of an introduction to the message is point out three very real reasons why all saved people need strength and courage. Number one, let me say this. We all need strength and courage because of battles. Battles. And I'm talking about battles we'll face along the journey of life. Joshua was just about to lead the people of Israel across the Jordan River into the land of promise. And as soon as they crossed over into the land of promise, they would be met with one conflict after another. God had promised, He had sworn that He would give that land to the people of Israel. Amen? Now I realize that there's still a whole lot of fighting and arguing going on about who possesses that land or who owns that land. And I know politics tries to get in it, stick their nose in it like they want to stick their nose in everything. And about 99% of the time, politics does nothing but foul things up. It is so corrupt and crooked nowadays in America and any other country that they hardly ever get anything right anymore. But I'm going to tell you, if you believe the Bible, and that's really what matters is believing the Bible. If you believe the Bible, you know who that land belongs to. You're not going to allow some liberal politician to convince you that that land belongs to a bunch of ragheads, because it doesn't, my friend. That wasn't politically correct, was it? I really don't care. I really don't. That land belongs to God's people, the people of Israel. And only a Bible denier would say otherwise. But whenever God made the promise to the people that they would have that land, he never told them that they would get that land without conflict. In fact, he assured them that when they went into the land, they would have to possess the land. They would have to take the land from the people that inhabited that land. So just as soon as Joshua led those people across the Jordan River, they would be met with conflict. In his future, as the new leader of Israel, he knew there would be battles. God knew there would be battles. The people knew there would be battles. So Joshua needed strength and he needed courage because of the battles he would face. And I can say this, and I'm sure everybody here knows it. All along the journey of life, there will be battles. Amen. All along the journey of life. This is one reason why the Bible uses military terms when speaking of the Christian life, because the Christian life is filled with battles. In the New Testament, Paul talks about us warring a good warfare. He talks about how our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He talks about us being good soldiers of Jesus Christ. He talks about us fighting the good fight of faith. He tells us that we are to take on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are told in military terms what to expect as saved people. We must understand that there will be battles all along the journey of life. There will be no exception to that. We will all face battles with the world. We'll all face battles with the flesh. And that's something you're going to have to deal with every day of your life, by the way. Every day of your life, because we're stuck in this flesh. Amen? We're stuck in this, so there'll be conflict with the flesh every day. Every day of your life, your flesh is going to be contrary to you. It's going to pull you or try to pull you away from God, away from the Bible, away from prayer, away from church, away from everything that's spiritual, because your flesh hates everything that is spiritual. So you're going to have battles with the world. You're going to have battles with the flesh. You're going to have battles with the devil. We'll have to deal with the forces of evil until Satan and all his goons are in the lake of fire finally and forever. We're going to have battles all along the way. And you know what it takes to be successful in a battle? Strength and courage. Amen. Cowards don't win wars, do they? Cowards don't win battles. Cowards are not successful. One man said cowardice is epidemic. Have you ever noticed when one starts running, it usually winds up that a whole lot start running? You don't win battles by being a coward and by being a weakling. You need people that are strong. You need people that are courageous in order to be successful in the battles of life. So if we're going to be successful in our lives as God's people, we must have strength and courage because of the battles we'll face. Number two, let me say this. This is still introductory material here. We need strength and courage because of the book. Not only the battles, but the book. Now look right here at Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 7 again. God is talking to Joshua and he says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." Notice that. Be strong and very courageous. Have a lot of courage. Very courageous. Why? Why, Joshua? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Why did he need strength and courage? To be faithful to the book. To do the word of God. Look at what God goes on to say in that verse. He says, "Turn not from it," that is from the law, the word of God, "to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, you just stay true. Stay with the book is what God is telling Joshua. And listen, that's the way God wants us to be, right? Doesn't God want us to stay with the Bible? I'm talking about the book of all books. There's a lot of books on this earth, but there is one book that towers above all the others, and that's the Word of God. The only source of absolute truth on this planet is the Word of God. The inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. God wants us to stay with the book. One of the main reasons why Christianity is in such a mess. I'm not even talking about the world, okay? One of the reasons why Christianity is in such a mess nowadays is people going away from the book. If we want to have real, genuine revival in our churches, and I've been going to church all my life, off and on, more on than off, and I've sat through many a revival service in my life, but I don't think I've ever sat through a real revival in my life. Not, I'm talking about a church-wide revival. Now, I've had some personal revival in my own life. I've experienced that. But I'm talking about where a whole church gets revived. You know why you don't see more revivals and why we have meetings that we call revival that really doesn't change anybody's life? You know why? Because we've got away from the book. That's why. If we want to have real revival, it's going to begin with God's people, not the world, but with God's people getting back to the book and staying true to the book. Going to require that. I'm talking about staying with the true book. I'm talking about staying with the real Word of God. I'm not talking about going after something that is called a Bible that written in it really isn't a Bible. I'm talking about staying with the true Word of God. God wants us to stay with the real Bible. The real Bible. You know, I find it interesting, and I get a lot of flack about this, but hey, that's all right. I can handle it, okay? But I find it interesting that you talk to saved people, call herself Baptist, and they'll tell you there's only one way to heaven, right? They'll tell you just one way to heaven. Amen? Y'all believe that this morning? I don't believe you can get to heaven any old way. I believe you'll go through Jesus or you'll go to hell. It's just that simple. And Baptists will tell you that emphatically. You won't have any problem getting along with Baptists if you say Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And they'll tell you so many things. There's just one of this, one of this, one of this. But suddenly, for years and years now, Baptists think God wrote about 250 or 300 different Bibles and put them out there. No, God wrote one Bible. He wrote one. The problem is that Christianity has departed from that one Bible. That's the problem with it. What God wants is us to stay with the true book. And not only does he want us to stay with the true Bible, but he wants us to stay with what the true Bible says. That's what he means when he tells Joshua, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. You stay with what the Bible says. But now listen, that's not always easy, is it? Not always easy. It's not always easy, especially in a day and time when there's so much liberalism in church. It's not always easy. And I can tell you this, being true to the book comes with a price. If you stay with the real Bible and you stay with what the Bible says and you don't compromise, you don't go to the left, you don't go to the right, you're a Bible believer, you're going to stand on the Word of God. And I just don't see a problem with that. I don't see a problem with that. Do y'all? It's amazing to me. I got saved young on in my life. I've been going to church for a lot of years, all my life really, like I say. And so many things have changed through the years in church. It's just unreal how church has changed through the years. And how stuff, and this is just in my young life. You know, I'm 46 years old. Some of you are beyond that, okay? You've seen a lot more than I have in church. But just in my young life, the things I've seen that have changed in church. Church is so different most of the time now. We've just gotten so contemporary and so liberal, and all of the stuff that worked for all of those years seemingly doesn't work anymore. That's what we're supposed to believe. We have to get rid of the old paths and the old ways of doing things, the old songs and the old Bible and the old way of living, and accept all of this stuff in. That's what we're told to believe. I don't see what is wrong with just staying with the Bible. What's wrong with that? I don't have a problem with it. If God will give me strength and courage. As long as I have breath and soundness of mind, like it or lump it, I'm going to stay with the Bible, okay? And that's what God wants from this church. He wants us to stay right with the Bible and not compromise, not go to the left, not go to the right. But that does come with a price. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you some friends. There's some people that say they're your friends, and we all know how that works too, don't we? There's a lot of folks that will say they're your friend, but we know better. There's people that say they're your friends. You stay with this King James Bible and what it says, they're going to fall by the wayside, friend. It's going to cost you some friends. It'll cost you some family members. It'll cost you some fellowship. There'll be people, literally, I have experienced what I'm talking about. People that have just cut me off and refused to fellowship with me because I made the choice that I'm going to stay with the Bible. It's not going to be easy. What I'm telling you is you need strength and courage in your life, not just because of the battles you'll face in life, but in order to stay true to God's book, in order to stay with the Word of God. Number three, let me say this. We need strength and courage because of the brethren. The brethren. Joshua has been entrusted with this responsibility of leading his people, the people of Israel. It's a tremendous responsibility, a great privilege and honor to be given this by the Lord. And he did not take this lightly. It was a very serious thing to him. He had watched Moses for a long time and how he had led the people and watched all of the things that Moses had to go through dealing with those people. Joshua understood that in days to come, he was going to have to deal with the brethren. That he was going to have to deal with the stubbornness, the rebellion, and the resistance of the brethren. He would need strength and courage, not just to deal with the heathen people in the land, but his own brothers and sisters when they got in the land and decided to go astray. He understood that. He would need strength and courage to deal with the brethren. I can tell you after over 25 years of being in the ministry that sometimes you folk are hard to deal with. I can tell you that. And I know that goes both ways, okay? But saved people aren't always easy to deal with. Some of the roughest, meanest people I've ever met go to church every Sunday. That's a God's honest truth. I have met with tremendous resistance through the years as a pastor. Not from people outside of the church, y'all listening to me? But from people inside of the church. That stuff used to really get on me and bother me a whole lot. I guess things change with time or whatever. It doesn't seem to bother me quite as much anymore. I've noticed it seems like as people get older, they just don't want to put up with as much. You know what I mean? Y'all seen folks like that? You just get older and you've been through enough that you just don't want to deal with a bunch of trifling mess anymore. That's kind of where I'm at in my life right now. I'm just not going to put up with a whole bunch of trifling mess. You understand? I'm not going to do that. But what I understand is that all along, you're going to have to deal with the brethren. I was talking with this lady. She was an African-American lady. We were at Walmart. I don't even know how we got to talking. We got to talking about church. She was a saved lady, and she went to church, and she was talking about problems that they were having in their church. And she found out I was a pastor and that sort of thing, and we talked on and on, and she finally just leaned over, and she said, "Pastor, us saved folk are something else, ain't we?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, we are." Sometimes God's people can be a handful. And sometimes your greatest source of conflict will not be a person that doesn't know Jesus Christ, but a brother or sister in the Lord. Sometimes that's how it is. There, and it's hard to imagine, but that's the truth. There's times when the ones that are going to give you the most resistance and try to stand in your way the most will be people that are saved. And you know what you're going to have to press on through that? is strength and courage. You're going to have to be willing to stand your ground and be strong and courageous and press forward even when God's people try to stand in the way. You need strength and courage because of the battles, because of the book, because of the brethren. Let me give you right now, real quick, four assets that are available to all believers that will help you have the strength and courage you need. We'll give you these quickly because I'm running out of time. Number one, let me say this. Something that will help you have the strength and courage you need in your life as a Christian is the promises of God. The promises of God. Look right here at Joshua chapter 1, verse number 2. God says to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." And that, by the way, is why the mantle of leadership passed from Moses to Joshua. It wasn't that Moses was no longer qualified. He died. So because he died, he could no longer be the leader of the people. A change was necessary. But God says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people under the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." Notice, God says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." He doesn't say, "Now, therefore, sit right here and do nothing else." He says, "All right, Moses is dead. I realize that's a significant loss, but he's gone. He's dead. And my work is bigger than one man. So I want you to get up and I want you to go on." We all will experience loss in this life. All of us will lose people that we love very much. Amen? That's the reality of living in this world. It's not a good reality, but it is a reality of life. You're going to lose people along the way that you love very dearly, and it's going to break your heart, and it is perfectly all right for you to grieve and to mourn, but it is not all right for you to sit down and quit on God. God wants you, even after a loss, to get up and to keep moving forward. Amen? That's what God wants. He says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go, go. Don't hang around here. Keep going. Keep moving forward. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land," look at it, "which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." He says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." He's reminding Joshua of promises he had already made. He had promised Moses they would have the land. He's just reminding Joshua of promises already made. Look at verse number 4. He tells about the land, how much they were to have. Then verse 5. He goes on and says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." That's a promise that God made personally to Joshua. He says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." That's a promise. "I will not fail thee." That's a promise. "Nor forsake thee." That's a promise. God's making promise. He reminds him, and then he makes promises to him. Verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." One promise after the other. You know what builds strength and courage in your life? The promises of God. Gives you strength and courage. The Bible is a book full of great and precious promises. I believe God's people ought to acquaint themselves with as many of these promises as possible. Amen? You ought to acquaint yourself with as many of the promises of God as possible. They will strengthen your faith. They will strengthen your resolve. They will give you courage to stand, courage to keep pressing on, to fight the good fight of faith. Like, for example, when I read where the Bible says, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world," that gives me courage. That strengthens my faith and my resolve. In the midst of opposition and conflict, I can stand my ground and fight the good fight because I know ultimately the one that is in me is greater than whatever I'm having to deal with. The promises of God give you courage and strength. I love verses about how God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, how we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I love the promises in the Bible about our future. how the Bible says Jesus said that I'm going to come again, and he said, my reward will be with me. He said, I will reward every man according to his works. He said, if you do good, you'll receive the reward of the inheritance. You know something that strengthens me and gives me courage to move forward in my life when sometimes I really don't feel like it? When sometimes I just kind of like to throw my hands up and say I'm done with the whole mess. You know what helps me to keep moving on? Is knowing what I got coming in the future. Knowing that if I'll be faithful, there's a reward waiting down the line. But you know where I learned that? I learned that in the promises of God that are found in the Bible. Something that'll give you strength and courage is the promises of God. How many of them do you know? I mean, honestly. Where you sit right now, how many of those promises can you actually quote to yourself? How many of them are you acquainted with? You see, if you're going to use those promises and avail yourself of those promises, they have to be in your mind and your heart, right? They have to be there so you can draw on them and comfort yourself and strengthen yourself and embolden yourself in difficult times. But if they're not there, you can't draw from them. You need to acquaint yourselves with the promises of God. Number two, I got to move on. Let me say secondly, something else that will give you strength and courage is the precepts of God. Not just the promises of God, but the precepts of God. I'm talking about the Word of God here. Look at verse number 7. God said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left. Look at this. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You know where real prosperity is found? Real prosperity is found in obedience to the Word of God. That's where it's found. But look at verse number 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then, and then thou shalt have good success. I told you in the introduction that we need strength and courage because of the Bible, but here's what I want you to understand now. I want you to understand that the book that causes you to need strength and courage is the exact same book that will give you that strength and courage. The book doesn't change. You'll need strength and courage to stand for that book, and it is in that book that you will find the strength and courage you need. This is why it is so very important that we do like it says in verse number 8. Look at verse number 8 again. He says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Stay in the Bible. I've preached it a million times. I'm going to preach it a million and one. Stay in the Bible. Stay in the Word of God. The more you grow in the Word, the more you will grow in strength and courage. The Bible is not only a book of promises, but it is a book of inspirational stories and infallible truths. That's what the Bible is. When you read the Bible, have me understand, you're not reading what is the figment of somebody's imagination, but the infallible truth of God. And there are inspirational stories all the way through. I don't know how anybody can read through the Old Testament and read all of the wonders of the God of Israel, the way he protected and provided and preserved in supernatural ways, and not get strength and courage from that. Man, when I read some of those stories in the Old Testament, it fires me up. It really does. Does it excite you? You ever get excited when you read the Bible? Ever get excited when you read the Bible? Man, it excites me. I read some of those stories, and it just does something in me. It puts within me a courage that I know does not come from me. It's a courage that only comes from God. He gives it to me from the Bible. He'll give you boldness and strength through the things you read in the Scripture. The precepts of God. Number three, I got to move on. The promises of God, the precepts of God. Third thing that will give you strength and courage in your life, which you need so desperately, is the presence of God. The presence of God. Look here, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 5. God said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Why was that? Because Joshua was some great person? Because he was a superhuman, superman, super spiritual person? No. Look at it. Why would no man be able to stand before him? He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. The reason why no man will be able to stand before Joshua was because of the presence of God, the presence of the Lord. He said, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Look down at verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God assured him of his presence in his life. All of us who are saved have God's presence. Amen. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. One of the great infallible truths of the Bible is that we have his presence with us all the time. He lives in us. Paul said, Christ liveth in me. He lives in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. God told Joshua here, I'm with you and I'm never going to fail you. I'm never going to forsake you. No doubt that built up his strength and built up his courage, knowing that he would have God's presence with him every day. You know something that ought to give us strength and courage? Is knowing that every day of our life we have the presence of the Lord. It's a reality that no Christian is ever alone. You know that? No Christian is ever alone. You can be a million miles from nowhere, not a soul around, but you are not alone. You have him with you all the time. You never have to face any fight, any conflict, any trial, any tribulation alone. No matter the odds, no matter the obstacles, no matter the opposition, in every situation, you have him. Isn't that a blessing? To know you have him. Here's the last thing I want to say. What will give you strength and courage? The promises of God, the precepts of God, the presence of God. Last of all, I want to say the people of God. I talked in the introduction about how sometimes us saved people can be a handful, and that's the truth. There's no doubt about it. But I want to say this. I believe the greatest people that live on this planet right now are the people of God. That's what I believe. Sometimes we get out of shape. Sometimes we're not like we need to. But still, the greatest people on planet Earth are God's people. And you look right here at this passage. We don't have time to read it all, but you start in verse 10. After Joshua gets his instruction from God, he begins to give instruction to the people, especially the officers of the people. He starts telling them how to make preparation and get ready for the journey they're about to take. He gives them all this information. You get down here to verse 16, look at it. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. The people here, right here, are supportive and cooperative. They pledge their loyalty and obedience to Joshua. No doubt this gave Joshua strength and courage. He could move forward knowing that at least for the time, he had the support and backing of the people. That would give you strength and courage, knowing that you had all of these people behind you to support you as their leader, to do the things that you told them to do, to follow orders that they were given. Listen, the people of God can be difficult, but they can also be a source of encouragement, a source of comfort, a source of love, a source of help. I've been through some things with the brethren. some things that I really didn't enjoy going through. And I'm telling you right now, nobody has ever encouraged me and been a blessing to me like the people of God. I am so thankful for God's people. I am so thankful for the people in this church right here. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I am so thankful for the church family that we have. What appears to be real love and genuine care for each other. The way I see you step up for one another and try to help when people are going through hardship and difficulty, that is a blessing. It is also becoming a rarity in our churches these days. But what a blessing it is to see what God's people can do for one another. This is why it's important that we be around God's people as much as we can. I know that we have to talk to people that are lost. We can't just spend all of our time with Christians. But listen, folks, we ought to be around God's people more than we're around lost people. Really ought to be. I'm talking about for our fellowship, our companionship. We should be around God's people. Do you know, and I'm all done here, do you know one of the greatest reasons, and we've talked about it before, you know one of the greatest reasons why you need to come to church faithfully? You know why? It's not to get you to heaven, because coming to church don't get you to heaven. You can join every church in the county and still go to hell. You don't go to church to go to heaven. One of the biggest reasons why you ought to come to church, not the biggest, but one of the biggest reasons you ought to come is so you can be with other believers. People of like mind and like faith. People that believe like you believe. Folk that love the Word of God, that love the Lord Jesus Christ. People that can encourage you. Folk that have been through some trials and tribulations like maybe you're going through in your life. It's something, you know, you talk to a person about a problem you have and that individual has never been through that particular problem. There's only so much they can do. But you know what I find? I find that in congregations, even small ones like this here, that generally you can find somebody in that church that's been through whatever problem you're dealing with in your life. And God can use that brother or that sister to strengthen you, to give you the courage to move on through the trial you're facing. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day and for the privilege to be in church. Thank you for the Word of God, and Lord, I do pray that you would help each one of us to have the strength and courage we need. I believe we'll need it even more as the day goes by. As more and more people depart from the faith and leave the Word of God, as more and more people turn away from church and go after things that are so ungodly and wicked, Lord, we need strength, we need courage to be faithful. Help us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.